Good morning, everybody. It is the 16th of December, 2021. It's time for our 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time show here on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. My name is Larry Jacobs. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today, or maybe on the archives. We archive every show over at ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. And we just redid the website. It looks great, and you'll see over there the newest issue, brand new, of our online journal, Equity and Access. And we thank you all, for so many people, for going over there all the time and checking in with us. All of our podcasts are over at ace-ed.org, our magazine and all its archives at ace-ed.org, all kinds of news, and the link to our new website, which is SEL Today, all about social emotional learning, seltoday.org, if you want to go directly there. It's a pretty cool website, but it's all linked over at ace-ed.org. Today we're going to talk about something that's pretty cool, and that's curriculum-aligned assessments. And I've got two experts here who can really help me understand it and you understand it better. It's Laura Slover, who's the CEO of our good friends at Centerpoint Education Solutions, and Wendy Anderson, who's their director of Humanities Assessment Design and Development. Okay, and we're going to talk a lot about assessment and all the things that they do over there, particularly with curriculum-aligned assessment. Laura, good morning. Welcome back. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to be here again.
It's nice to have you here. Where are you today?
I am in my home in Washington, D.C., and it's a beautiful day here. We're in the kind of warm winter before it turns cold for Christmas.
Yeah, and it will. It will. I live in Maine. We had a little bit of slushy snow today. Okay, hopefully it's a long time until it comes to your way, and I know it's not going to come to Wendy's way, because she's in Arizona, right, Wendy?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
But it's not today.
Yes.
We're in the 30s right now, so it's a little bit cold.
Oh. You know, I had some, this is Wendy Anderson, everybody, and I had somebody on the show yesterday from Gilbert, Arizona, who said it was around 39 degrees.
Yep, a little bit cold right now, but that's good. That's good.
Okay, so I invite you to come to Maine and get warm.
That's a good idea.
Okay, there you go. Now, you're from Arizona. Don't come in January, February, or March. Other than that, the lobster are waiting for you, okay? Laura, I want you to tell everybody what Centerpoint Education does. Go ahead. Just do it. Go for it.
Go for it. Well, thanks, Larry. Centerpoint is an organization. We are a nonprofit organization, and we work with districts and schools at the intersection of curriculum, assessment, and professional learning. So we are content and assessment experts and wonks, really, and we help schools make sure that they have excellent curriculum, implement them well, measure the curriculum with fidelity, and help teachers understand what assessments they should be using and how to use the data that they get from them to help students accomplish their goals.
And all that is wonderful. And this is a great question. I think, how badly do educators need that? And I think they need what you do. I think what you do is incredibly important. All right. And just talk about that, if you may. When you go into a school district, do the educators already know a lot about what you're going to tell them? Or do they go, wow, why didn't I know this before? And I bet it's the second.
I'd say it's a little bit of a mix, and I want to start by saying that I was a high school English teacher. Wendy spent a large part of her career in the classroom as well. So we come to the work really believing in teachers and the work that they do. And one of Centerpoint's core goals is to make the work of teachers easier, better, more fruitful, more productive, and have great results for students. So all that context is important, because when we go into classrooms and schools, we're there to help. And what we see is teachers who want to do great things for kids, and sometimes, particularly when teachers have been there for a long time, they're very steeped in a particular curriculum, and they've been around the block, and they know how to use assessment results. but often they don't, either because they're relatively new, or what we're seeing a lot now is that people are making new choices about curriculum and shifting mm-hmm. to curricula that are more high quality, more focused on making sure all kids, and I mean all, are ready for college and careers, making sure that the curriculum they're using are culturally responsive. I think we've talked about that in the past. And I think there's such a new focus and new emphasis on data and being able to use data that teachers are still trying to catch up. And the good news is there's a lot more data, and by data I mean information
yep.
about student learning. But there hasn't been enough emphasis until recently on helping teachers understand what to do with the millions of pieces of data that are coming at them every week.
Thank you.
So that's what we're really focused on, is helping teachers make sense of those data and looking at assessment through a lens of how does it help me get kids learning the curriculum in front of them.
Exactly. And thank you for that good explanation. I got to tell you, we remember, we're not just teachers. We're not teachers unless the kids are learning. If the kids aren't learning, we aren't teaching them anything. Okay? And it's so key what you just said. Education is changing. The way we assess has to change. The curriculum we use has to change. Okay? And I ask that question because I'm always concerned that the schools of education are a bit behind what's needed in the classroom, okay? And companies like yours go in there like the knight on the white charger, okay, and really get the job done, okay? And I think it's just great. And I just want to say this. CenterPoint, I'm just going to reword off the website, that what they do, classroom assessments, curriculum services, assessment services, academic review services, assessment literacy, learning services for teachers, and blended literacy. Okay? CenterPointEducation.org, everybody. Okay, Wendy, what do you do over there? Tell everybody what the Director of Humanities Assessment Design and Development means. Wendy.
I lead. Can you hear me?
I can.
Well, perfect. I lead a team of instructional designers, former educators in developing assessments and helping with professional development and supporting curriculum development as well where needed, really focusing heavily on assessment, but only because the data that you get from assessment can help to support the learning that goes on in the classroom, because that really is what's most important, both students and what they're learning and how they're developing.
It is, and we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Can you put equity into that picture, Wendy?
Yes, definitely. We strive really hard to make sure that everything that we do is equitable, and part of that is the curriculum-aligned assessments that we've really moved into.
Yep.
To try to make sure we even the playing field for all students, that they can show what they know and can do, and also to help the teachers to be able to really meet their needs in the classroom with that data that can be gathered from assessment.
It's also important that it all has to come together the right way, and I can't say enough about what you guys do. Curriculum-aligned assessments. Okay, say that 10 times fast. Curriculum-aligned assessment. Okay? So I get it, but I want you to say it from your point of view. I think, Laura or Wendy? Laura, is it you or Wendy who's going to answer that one? Give me the definition. Who's going to do it? Laura?
It's going
to start. I will start and then kick it over to Wendy, who is our brilliant expert. Essentially, curriculum-aligned assessments are exactly what they sound like, Larry. They are assessments built intentionally to align to the content in the curriculum and the standards underlying that content. And I would just say before Wendy jumps in that we believe first and foremost that every school should have an excellent curriculum. Like curriculum and what teachers are teaching and what students are learning is the central, probably the most important element of a classroom. The assessments are tools to help students learn and teachers teach, and they therefore should be aligned to that rich curriculum. Wendy, talk specifically mm-hmm. about the assessments that we build that are aligned.
I'm going to talk briefly about math since my area is more English arts. We do have some aligned assessments in math. We have illustrative math certified and Eureka aligned assessments, and those are really aligned heavily with the curriculum, what's being taught, when it's being taught, all of that wonderful stuff. In ELA, it's just a little bit different because the focus is really on topics that are taught during the year. What we found or what research has shown is that kids come to school with different levels of background knowledge. And to tap into the background knowledge, the things that they're learning in the classroom via the high-quality curriculum, we want to look for connections to the topics that are being taught and use those in the passages that we're using in our assessment. So, for example, if students are learning about the Holocaust, we might have a story or two about characters set in the Holocaust and the things that they go through so that students can draw on that background knowledge that they have to show what they know and can do with the standards that are being assessed. It used to be that people thought, hey, if we just use passages that no one knows, that, you know, just random passages, that students can really hone in on those skills that they know. But research shows that that's not the best way for students to learn to read or to show what they know. It really is about their background knowledge and the building of vocabulary. And so we want to really hone in on that and focus on that high-quality curriculum that's going on in the classroom when we develop our assessments.
And let me ask you, how important, and I'm going to get into detail about what you said, but how important in that, okay, is, if I may, is culturally relevant curriculum? Are the two tied together? When you're dealing with curriculum-aligned assessments, does culturally relatable curriculum matter? Wendy?
It does matter. It does matter. You want to make sure that students can see themselves in what they're reading and what they're experiencing. And so, yes, we always look at that aspect of it as we're building assessments. But most high-quality curriculum, that's part of it. If you look at Ed Reports, they have a way that you can review a curriculum and make sure that it is of high quality, and that includes that cultural curriculum. And as we look at opportunities to select passages that are rich and reflect a variety of cultures in a way that's appropriate, we're able to meet that as well.
And thank you for that answer. I'm going to ask you an interesting question. In your opinion, what is the rationale? Why do we hold on. Wait a minute. Let me cough. Hold on. It's asthma. Sorry about that.
Stay with us. Stay with us,
Larry. Yeah, please. I'm fine. I just didn't want everybody to hear me cough. All right. In your opinion, why do we have assessments? What are we trying to measure? Are we trying to measure, okay, I was a history teacher years ago,
mm-hmm.
okay, we measured if kids could remember that George Washington's horse was named this spot or whatever his name was, okay? That's what we were measuring. And I can still think back on why was I even testing that kind of stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it was back then. These days, which is a key phrase, what are we trying to measure with the assessment? And it's not just to measure what the kid knows. I think it's also to measure what the teacher taught and if, in fact, it was absorbed by the child. Laura, I'll give you a PhD from the University of Larry if you can answer that one.
Is this my first or second? Because, you know, you gave me one last time we talked. So
I know. I give quite a bit of them away. Okay. So you can be doctor. Right. At the University of Larry is an inexpensive tuition-free college that almost anybody can apply to. There you go. Wendy, if you're interested, I'll send you an application.
Excellent. I love
it. Thank you. The purpose of an assessment. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the purpose of an assessment is at the classroom level, is to give educators information about where students are on their learning path. And so that teachers know, did the kids get what I just taught them? Do I need to reteach it? Are they ready to move on? And thinking about whether there are groups of kids who are ready to move on and groups of kids who need extra support. So assessments give you data that are sort of a map if you're a teacher, a map of where you need to go next.
Thank you.
And so that's why it's so important that they be aligned to curriculum. When you align assessments to a specific curriculum, you're aligning both to the content and the sequence that it is taught. And when you don't have assessments that are aligned, particularly out of sequence, the map is pretty confusing. You may be testing a student on something that they have not yet learned, or they learned a really long time ago, and so the data and information you get is not actionable. So when we think of assessments, and I'm going to get weedy here for a moment, I'm going to really prove, you know, I'm going to earn my PhD here. We think of the importance of curriculum-aligned assessments as being more valid, more reliable, and more actionable. So I'm going to define those terms. Valid, meaning the extent to which an assessment measures what it's supposed to measure. So if it's measuring the curriculum that a teacher has been teaching, there's more internal validity, again, with the content that it's measuring. Reliability, which is the extent to which an assessment measures consistently the performance of a student. In other words, no matter how many times a student takes the assessment, they perform relatively similarly. They might have a bad day, but in general, you're going to see results that look similar. And then actionable, and this is where I want to really dig in, is the extent to which teachers are able to use the data to inform student learning. And if students haven't been assessed on things they've learned recently, the data is going to be, as I said, fuzzier and less actionable for the teacher and less able to support that teacher's instruction in the classroom.
Did I tell you, both of you and to the audience, Laura, did I ever tell you the story of my math teacher in high school?
I don't think so, Larry.
You'll love this, okay? You'll love this, all right? I went to a gigantic high school in Philadelphia, but for some reason I had the same teacher all 3 years, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, okay? He would teach Monday through Thursday. On Friday, he would give us a test, I guess, let's say, on chapter one, okay? These were all kids going to college. Everybody wound up getting a 40 or a 30, okay? He would then mark on a curve, so the 40 or the 30 became an A or a B. And then he would go on to chapter two, not understanding that nobody had learned chapter one. Okay? And
right.
That was why all through high school I was terrible at math, because I had this same lousy teacher. Okay? Mm. He took the assessment as a measure of me, instead of a measure of himself and the way he was teaching, all right? And if I'm hearing you correctly, and you used the word, I wrote it down, there's a sequence to learning, okay? And if we don't get part A of the sequence, we're not going to move to part B, and we're certainly not going to understand it. And my question to both of you, and either Wendy or Laura can answer this, when you go into a school district and you create these assessments, okay, based on what is the teacher's reaction to the way you create an assessment as to the way perhaps they would. Wendy, you want to do that one, or should I give it to Dr. Slover?
I want to have Dr. Slover a couple more times.
Dr. Anderson. By the way, I'll just give you a doctorate. You're so nice, Wendy. You're so nice.
Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome. Dr. Anderson, answer me a question. What's a teacher's reaction when you go in with one of your really deep assessments?
You know, there's an aspect of it that I think is so important to make sure that teachers can understand what the assessment can provide for them and for their students,
Thank
and that
you.
Is the professional. And so we've developed professional learning that is tied to our assessments in order to help teachers to understand the data and how to interpret it and then how to apply it in the classroom to help their students to move forward if they are stuck or to see the progress. In some cases, the test might or the assessment might show that the student is actually excelling, and in which case teachers can provide some stretch assignments, things that help the student to move further along at their mm-hmm. level, because really that's what it is. You meet students where they are and you help them to move forward. It's just so important. So we do a lot of professional development to help teachers with that. Obviously, if you just come in with assessment, you're like, here's the assessment, have fun, see you later. Teachers have so much on their plate, especially with COVID, that you know, it's just one more thing, and it's not as helpful as it could be if you show them kind of, here's what you can do with it, here's the information you can get. And through that, we've really seen teachers come alive and be really excited about what the assessments can do for them.
Right, and that is a great point. You know, anything we can do to help teachers and re-engage them. This is a tough time to be a teacher, okay? This is
it really
a very
is.
Tough time. It really is. Do you find that working, it's kind of a leading question, but when people see what you can do and all the help that you can give them, I imagine it re-energizes them. Laura, what do you see with that, Kim?
Yeah. I would say that teachers, I think I'm just reiterating what Wendy said, but there's a general sense in the teaching profession that we're over-testing kids. And
yep.
I think that comes from the underlying problem that people, that schools and districts and states all have assessments that they are offering. And very often, nobody's done an audit, so to speak, of the purposes and uses of all those assessments, whether some are redundant and could be eliminated, whether there are gaps, and actually you need to add some kind of assessment. So I think there's a general sense that we assess too much, but not enough analysis of what are we assessing, for what purpose,
exactly,
what audience. And so when teachers feel that you do have your eye on that ball and that your assessment and that actually are serving an important purpose that will make their lives easier and support their instruction, they see that as a value and not a curse. Something that will help them.
Thank you.
And not just be used as a hammer.
It should never be used as a hammer. You said the word before, it is a tool. Okay? It is a tool. Okay, that you use to make sure that learning is happening. All right, and teachers have to look at themselves with the assessments as well. It's that simple. And when you used the word before, and this is key, and by the way, I want to say something. Okay, you mentioned this a minute ago. Okay, it's not the amount of assessment we do. It's the quality of the assessment we do. And we're always talking about loss of time. Okay, but a test a week may not be the way to do it. That's lost teaching time. If we assess once properly and correctly, I'll just say this, after 3 weeks, we're a lot better off than if we do it every week. What are your thoughts on that, the newly named Dr. Anderson? Am I right or wrong?
You're right. I mean, we want to be careful
Thank
not
you.
To overtest.
Thank you.
But depends on what you're teaching. I mean, sometimes you're teaching a skill or a topic or a concept that maybe does take a week, and maybe it would be appropriate to test after that week. And
yeah.
sometimes it's something that takes 3 or 4 weeks, and it would be appropriate to do it at the end of that. With those in class, and you could do little tiny gauges like, you know, exit tickets or things like that in the classroom as well to kind of get a gauge along the way. But, yeah, you don't want to be doing this type of really specific testing every week. And also, our curriculum-aligned assessments are interim assessments, and so really they're designed to be given after a module or after, you know, a module and a half or something like that. So they're only about 3 or 4 times a year rather than,
Bingo.
You know, 10 times a year.
Bingo. Yeah, why take away from teaching time when you can assess more efficiently if you do it right? Okay, that's where I'm driving with all this. I just think that's really important. And the other thing, Laura, you mentioned this word, and the word is data. Okay, like the guy from Star Trek Next Generation, Data. Okay,
data
is
right.
is important, and I'm curious, when you talk to teachers, educators about data, are they being taught how to use it in teacher training? Where are we on the use of the data you can provide? I think that's a key question, Laura.
We continue to be surprised. I think.
Yeah.
You're asking a really important question. We continue to be surprised at the dearth of knowledge that teachers have about what to do with the data. We live in such a data-rich culture, and we talk so much about data-driven instruction that you'd think that there would be lots of training for educators in just that, in how to use the data. And in fact, we see that there's not enough. That is why one of the most important services that we provide is data and assessment literacy, where we dive in deep educators and school leaders on what do we do with these data. We have all these different sources of data. How do we put them together to create a holistic picture of the student's learning or of the school's effectiveness? And so we don't just stop there. We say, all right, here are the data, and then what's the roadmap for how to use those data to impact instruction? Do I need to, as I mentioned, do I need to reteach? Am I ready to move on? What does it mean at the school level? Is there some particular topic that students are struggling with? If I look across the fifth grade class, are they all struggling with proportionality? Are my seventh graders all ready to move on to the next level of mathematics or of writing? So being able to mine the data to answer key questions is something that all teachers need. Not all of them have been able to develop those skills, and something that CenterPoint really focuses on as a core part of our work.
I can't say enough for that, okay? And there's, I really can't. That's why what the work you do with school districts is so – one of the main reasons the work you do with school districts is so important. I loved what you just said. I wrote it down. Data and assessment literacy for educators. You have to be literate in that. We're always talking about literacy for the kids, okay? But this is a different type of literacy for the educators. And it's so important, okay, that we that everything line up together. It's just amazing. I have to ask something, okay? We got only have a few minutes left. I'm curious. I'll throw it to Wendy, and you can help me, and you can pass it to Laura if you want. The pandemic. I don't know if you guys know this. There's been a pandemic the last couple of years, okay? And did you know that, Wendy?
What?
I'm the host. I like to throw important facts out there. Okay? So there's been a pandemic. I know you don't know that. There's been a pandemic, okay, the last couple of years. And I'm curious, okay, the work you do with assessing kids, all right, before the pandemic, you guys have been around, before the pandemic and now. And the reason I'm asking is a lot of a conversation about social-emotional learning, how the mm-hmm. the needs of children have changed, and how social-emotional learning, their social-emotional aspects, their what we used to call softer skills, are very important in what they're learning now. And the pandemic has changed things. What have you seen or heard from teachers regarding what you guys do with assessing students before and after the pandemic? I'll ask that to the newly named Dr. Anderson.
You know, I think that's why the tighter alignment to curriculum, because what we're seeing is that there is a loss of learning, especially in the very young grades, like kindergarten, first grade, because, it's really hard when you think about these kids not being face-to-face with their teacher, having to be online, or, you know, it's a lot of disruption to what they're learning. So
yeah,
I think having aligned assessments helps with that, but it also helps with social-emotional because it helps the student to kind of see where they're at. And by the way, this is something I feel strongly about. We only have a minute. Having students involved in looking at the data as well, having students have some ownership over their education. Especially as they move up in, because then they have that. They start to see, oh, here's an area where I need more work, and they can work toward it. And there's this feeling, you know, really, when they become part owners of their education.
I love that. I think that's great. And Laura, what do you think about this SEL changes before or after pandemic assessing?
I'm a former teacher, and I'm a mom, as is Wendy. And I agree with everything you're saying. I think the pandemic has had a major impact on the social, emotional well-being of students and of the adults in school. We just have to acknowledge that this pandemic has really affected everyone. as Wendy said, the curriculum-aligned assessments, because students feel that they're seeing familiar content, the look and the feel of the assessments are familiar to what they've seen in class. I'm certainly not saying they're a panacea and a fix, but they do help reduce anxiety around test taking and make the assessment experience feel like it's more just part of the regular learning cycle.
Yeah.
And from the standpoint of the teacher, it doesn't take time away. And you were talking earlier about, you know, we are behind where kids typically have been, and teachers, the last thing they want to do is take time away from teaching. So aligned assessments can help by making them feel more streamlined and less of a departure from learning and more a reinforcer and part of learning. So I think that's another reason why, just one more reason why we think the curriculum aligned aspect is so important.
It's just so darn important, both of you. We do have to go. Thank you so much, okay, to both of you. Happy holidays to both of you. And Laura, you just said you were a mom. Okay, you have kids. I want you to know that you now have two doctorates, and the doctorates from the University of Miami are transferable. You can give one to your child, and that way you don't have to pay college tuition.
That is great. Thank you. That's a great holiday gift.
It's a new idea in education, but I think the time has come. Okay? You two are terrific.
Happy
thank
you,
so,
you Larry.
Oh, thank you so much. And enjoy a sandy Christmas, not a snowy one. Okay, in Arizona, and a nice, beautiful, bipartisan one in D.C. Okay, thank you both.
Thank you. That's what we're hoping for. All right, take
care.
Yeah,
aren't we all? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, centerpointeducation.org. Centerpointeducation.org. They are one hell of a good company. All right, and what can I say? All right, we're going to archive over it. ace-ed.org. Everybody, thanks for listening. Okay, my name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio.